I've always thought of this particular feast as the graduation for the disciples and for Jesus' followers. And when we hear from Paul that he's writing to the Ephesians, "May the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, resulting in knowledge of him. May the eyes of your hearts be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope that belongs to his call, what are the riches of glory and his inheritance among the holy ones, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power for all who believe. May you be given those things, because I'm about to ascend to my Father." And if you've been listening to the Gospel of John the last few days, he's been preparing him for that, and the disciples are not really willing to sort of go into that space. They just keep asking, "Well, is this the time, Lord? Is this what you're going to do? Can we do this now?" No, you can't. The truth is that as challenged as the disciples and his followers were by Jesus' ascension, we too are challenged in the same way. He had to ascend to the Father so the Spirit could come, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of power, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit that sets our hearts on fire to preach the gospel. He did not leave a blueprint when he left. He said, the end of the Gospel of Matthew. Went to a whole different year. "Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Go do that. Do it as the Spirit tells you to do it. In your preaching, in your ministry, in the way that you live out your life. That's how you're supposed to do it. Tell us what to do, Jesus. You should go out and preach the word. Give the good news to the people around you in your prayer, in your ministry, in how you live your life. Jesus, tell us what to do. Oy vey. He had to leave. He had to ascend to the Father. And there had to be that period of confusion and chaos and fear and, gee, what do we do now? So that they were open to the Spirit when the Spirit came. The Holy Spirit, wind and fire, a soft voice that set the disciples and the people in the upper room on fire. If you read the Acts of the Apostles, the Peter that we see in the Acts of the Apostles, where did he come from? Because it's not the same Peter that was here when Jesus was walking the earth saying to Peter again and again and again, "Peter, this is what I have to do." No, Jesus, you can't do that. It's a whole different Peter. It's a Peter who is passionate and convicted of what he's been called to do. And he suffers for it. He suffers for it, as do all the disciples. On fire with the Spirit, convicted in faith, driven by hope, they began to share the good news in ways that they could not have done without the coming of the Holy Spirit. And so today, their graduation, in which Jesus Christ ascends home to heaven, I can just imagine the celebration, the angels and the trumpets. He's home. He did not leave us. He told the disciples he wasn't going to, and he has not. He is in our hearts. He comes to us in the Eucharist. He comes to us in our openness to his power and his presence. He's never stopped doing that. If we feel lost, it's because we've become Peter prior to the Spirit. We've become the disciples after his death and resurrection. They worshiped him, but they doubted. He had to leave so the doubt would go away, burned out by the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. God's plan has been unfolding since the beginning, and each step along the way had to happen in the way that it happened, so that we could come here today in this time, in this place, and worship as a community. Receive the Holy Spirit, receive Jesus Christ, receive the Father. The triune God is in our hearts. We all speak of Jesus Christ being there, I do. But the truth is that where Jesus Christ is, there is the Father. Where Jesus Christ is, there is the Spirit. They're a package deal. And if we accept them into our hearts, we are empowered to do great things. We are empowered to live out a life that witnesses to the Spirit and to God's love. Every time we live out God's call, we have changed the world. Hugely? No. He didn't say we'd change it hugely. I'm not even sure what that is in Hebrew, frankly, so I don't know. But he did say we would change the world. And so we have. Each time we pray for someone, each time we offer a ministry to someone, each time we study our scriptures and offer our prayers, we are changing the world around us. And just as Jesus Christ told the people that followed him and his disciples, "Trust me, I will be with you until the end of the ages," we are called to live out that trust as well. Sometimes it's really hard to see as we look around and face the challenges that we have. Sometimes it's very difficult. But that's our problem, not God's. He enfolds us. I haven't said it for a while. We swim in God's grace. It is all around us. We have to open up our hearts and our minds and our souls to let it in. So this is our graduation day as well. May the eyes of your hearts be enlightened. And may God be with you now and always.